word from another language does not deprive that language of its own words. Rather, it is to share the original expressions more widely, in the process often giving them a different spelling, another shape, and perhaps a meaning that has strayed some distance from the one in the source. English is adept at this. The language is a great borrower, a practiced thief. In the same way that many books are made out of other books, almost all the words in English have been made out of words from other languages. History and geography provide the explanation. Britain, sitting semi-detached at the end of Europe and slightly above a line drawn midway across the continent, was, from the 1st to the 11th centuries AD, the beneficiary of influences coming from both the north and south. These influences weren't exactly a matter of choice for the occupants of the British Isles. Rather, they were invasions, whether Roman, Anglo-Saxon, Viking, or Norman. Yet each wave of newcomers, instead of withdrawing after a period of occupation, was to remain and turn into settlers and then, over generations, into citizens. At the same time, as one ethnic layer was added to another, so one linguistic stratum was laid down on top of the previous one. And as the boundaries between different ethnicities will grow more vague if no constraints are imposed on them, so too did the division between the different tongues used in England. Principally, the division between Anglo-Saxon, Old English, and Norman French became increasingly uncertain when one linguistic tradition seeped into another. A little might have been lost or discarded in the process, but much more was retained and added when words and expressions from different corners of Europe found themselves living in close quarters. All this makes the history of English a complicated business, but it also explains something of the richness and density of the language. The point about constraint, or rather the lack of it, is important too. Unlike other linguistic cultures, French springs to mind for some reason, English has always been open to foreign influence throughout its long history. Whether the words and the ways of using them were brought across by soldiers or scholars, by merchants or migrants. The great period of British imperial expansion and consolidation, which began in the age of Elizabeth I and lasted until not so very long before the beginning of the reign of Elizabeth II, also saw a tremendous influx of terms from around the world, whether from India and all points east, or the Americas, or Australasia. In the 20th century, the cultural and military dominance of the United States not only guaranteed the status of English across the globe, but the slightly different forms of the language used in America as opposed to Britain have themselves contributed to the store of words on both sides of the Atlantic. May We Borrow Your Language is a story of origins. By explaining where a selection of our English words comes from, it hints at the range, exoticism, and idiosyncrasies of our language. The arrangement is chronological, beginning with terms from the 7th and 8th centuries, and travelling through a landscape that is at first Celtic, then Anglo-Saxon, then Norman, and then increasingly globalised in scope. I have chosen the words partly in a spirit of serendipity. See entry for the origin of this word later in the audiobook. And partly to give due weight to the contribution of each strand or stratum that makes up English as we use it today. The Anglo-Saxon or Old English one therefore outweighs the Viking or Norse one, while Celtic is inevitably reduced to some vestiges in place names and a few other topographical terms. Meanwhile, Latin is everywhere in the period following the conquest of 1066, not only because of the influence of that